Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com. Evolution. CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. You're listening to Animal Central on Cliff Central. I'm Sharon Dale, and I'm here with my co-host, Jonathan Sinclair.
Yes, good morning. Our favorite day of the week.
Except, Jono, you might have to stand in for me every now and again. I still have no voice, basically, from WODAC. We did WODAC this weekend. You stand at that stand for 10 hours a day, packing, unpacking, talking. Of course, I need to ask everybody, what dogs do you have? What are their names? Show me their pictures. And yeah, so we don't have the best of voices this morning.
Well, Sharon, while we're talking about WODAC, we can't do it without doing this. Because you were the winner of the Celebrity Dog Competition.
I am so proud of myself.
Yes.
I tell you what, the last time I even ran was probably 20 years ago. But I think it was a little bit, I was lucky because at the end of the day, I got the Border Collie in the draw. So you put a crazy dog lady and a crazy-eyed Border Collie in one room and nobody stands a chance. So thank you to Jenga. Thank you to Jenga for winning it for me.
So what did you actually, what was the charity or that benefit?
Well,
how did it
what
work?
Happened was, as you heard, because of course, Jono, you were there too.
Yes,
and I beat your ass.
You kicked me.
First round.
Well, first of all, I was like, "Why are they putting me and Sharon up against each other?" And then, you kicked me out like first round. But you made it all the way to the end. And there were many celebrities who were there. It was fantastic.
I really had fun.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I got through and they'd say, you won next round. I think we did five heats or something like that. I was completely shocked.
I know.
Shocked. But no, what happened was while we were doing that, people were donating money, of course, for all the shelters and rescue organizations that were there. And at the end of it, any money that was raised, WODAC was going to double it and then split it between all the rescue organizations. And then one of the prizes that I won, I decided to auction it, and I got 500 Rand for it from Maltons, actually, from the owner of Maltons.
That's awesome.
So it was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. And, of course, my Rosette is proud of place right next to my bed. I'm very proud of myself.
No, well done. And I'm so glad you were there representing Animal Central and that you won.
Because Animal Central won.
If we had relied on me, it wouldn't have been like
well,
that.
Well, Canine Zone and Animal Central won.
Exactly.
But it was a great event. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. It was a great opportunity to educate people about, you know, spay, neuter, don't backyard breed, you know, how to take care of a dog properly. So it does give you that opportunity. And of course, with all the rescue centers there and shelters there, there was great opportunities to educate people.
When I was walking around, the thing that excited me most, which I was surprised by, was those budgies. I don't know if you walk past these show budgies, the most beautiful budgies you've ever seen in your life. They're so big.
I didn't even see that.
I couldn't look away from them. They were so beautiful.
Really?
And I even said, you know, we should maybe try get them on
get
the show.
Get the budgie people. I didn't even get a chance to walk around. I still wanted to go and buy a bone for Barking Mad. I wanted to enter the raffle. Walked away without anything. I didn't buy anything. I didn't see anything.
I walked away with a whole lot of pamphlets. But it was really, really good fun.
It was.
But we also got a busy show today, Sharon.
We do. Today, in fact, before we carry on, I want to just send a shout out to Tennis Kotzer.
Okay.
Tennis came to our stand. He listens to us every week.
Oh,
he's probably
awesome.
One of our biggest fans.
Awesome.
So I said to him, I was going to say, hi, Tennis. Hope you're listening. And thanks for coming to visit me at the stand. But yes, today we've actually got Stella Maldo, Nicholas Maldo, who's here from Woodrock Animal Rescue. They're the Animal Angels. Again, they're going to tell us more about what they do. We're going to have a little bit of an update from Jagamora Predator Park. And then we're going to bring in a celeb, a speed queen.
Yeah.
Her name is Wilmarie Janssen van Rensburg, and she rescues, sterilizes, and rehomes cats. So a full show again.
Yes. All right. Well, let's get into it.
Let's get started.
Welcome, guys.
Estelle, thank you so much for coming in today. Nicholas, I know you guys do so much for animals. Please tell us, where did Woodrock start?
I think it's the age-old story. Woodrock started actually in Woodmead, around the corner here, next to Carver Rock.
Right.
With five dogs, three children, two pigs, 27 years ago.
27 years.
Yeah. I believe we were one of the oldest shelters.
Goodness.
And when five dogs became 10, and our neighbors started getting a little bit irritated. Yeah. We decided that we'd better start looking for something more permanent, larger. And when 30 dogs, we were at 30 dogs when we moved out, and we bought our farm out in Hennops River Valley, where we have 150 dogs, 7 donkeys, anything rescued.
Yes. Nothing. You have ducks and all sorts of
everything.
As well.
We've just rescued
20 cats as well.
20 cats. Yeah. Wow.
Ducks, geese.
Sure.
Chickens. So anything that hasn't a voice, we take
right.
on.
Right.
Yeah. Of course, we got a we have our capacity.
Bunnies as well, yeah.
Yeah, our little bunnies. Yeah. Yes. From Rivonia Road, actually.
Oh, my word.
Yes.
But bunnies tend to multiply.
Yeah? No, our bunnies are all sterilized.
All of them.
Sterilization is the key.
Absolutely. When they enter, that's the first process. After
absolutely.
All their,
no. Yeah.
We've don't fantastic. Compromise, be wise, sterilize. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm. There's no excuse not to.
Yeah. Absolutely. You will never find an unsterilized dog at Woodrock.
Mm. Okay.
Never. It goes in almost immediately. We do a health check to check of biliary, you know, for biliary or any like side effects that it could have, because our vets are quite particular. We use the very, very best vets.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. So then, the minute they come in, they are neutered or spayed.
Well, they first get
they
go
out to
they go into isolation. We have an isolation area. Okay. We do full medics. Nicholas is in charge of that.
Yes,
and then we whip them off to the vets.
Yeah. A lot of the dogs that we do get have got tick bite fever or biliary.
Oh.
So I have to treat them first before they can be sterilized.
Yes. Or they've been found on the side of the road, or that we also do township.
Or whatever.
Yeah, we do township, the informal settlements.
Yes.
We feed the dogs in the informal settlements on an average of 70 a day. And we go in there and make certain that they haven't, you know, we educate.
Yes. So do you go into an informal settlement literally every day to go?
Three times a week, I would say, better than every day. And we keep those dogs healthy, and we notice that there's been a huge improvement in the attitude towards animals.
Yes.
They'll call us immediately and say, listen, there's a litter that we've noticed, or there's a dog with a broken leg, or a dog with biliary, and we handle it.
Yeah. And these dogs in the informal settlements, are they dogs on the loose that know you coming and wait for their food, or are they owners that bring the dogs to you?
No, they're owners.
Okay.
They're all owned.
No, they don't bring the dogs physically to us. We drive into the informal settlements.
Yes.
But they are owned by the informal settlement, the community.
Right, right.
And these dogs don't need to be tied up, and they know who they belong to.
That's amazing.
It is.
In fact, you can see the owner of the dog walking along with 7 dogs following him.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Like a shepherd with his herd of sheep.
Yes, and they listen, and they're there with the owner.
Yeah, well.
They have fleas. They aren't like tip-top health. We try and do flea control, and we try and do dentals and all the rest of it, ear infections, and they do get sick. So, but they aren't in tip-top health. But we try,
sure.
And as long as they're not hungry, and they're all sterilized, absolutely all sterilized. That is like our main aim, that there's no breeding.
And still, you know, so many people are doing this now, going into the informal settlement, spaying and neutering. Long term, this is obviously going to make a huge difference in unwanted litters.
Sadly, Sharon, yes and no.
Mm.
It's a problem from years gone back. I mean, 27 years ago when we started, there was only the SPCA, basically, and a lady by the name of Sheila Gibson.
Right, right.
And, this is what all we had. And Fora was Friends of Rescued Animals, Marlene De Beer.
Yes.
And it wasn't an easy feat, let me tell you, because you hid your dogs away. You were petrified that the SPCA would come and take your dogs because we weren't registered. And so you ask me, is this going to change long term? No,
yes.
This is an age-old problem all over the world.
Really?
It's a grain of sand. That's it. It is going to be forever.
Think, you know, I see so many associations like yourselves, Dancers Love Dogs, they're all doing these sterilizations, and you think, it must make a difference.
It doesn't. You've got
it
your
doesn't.
Back breeder. It makes a difference to a point, but you've got your backdoor breeders on a massive scale, a scale that you cannot even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course the puppy mills, my own personal pet peeve. Can't stand it.
Sharon, you've got 7 out of 10 dogs, or 6 out of 10 dogs that are put down every day, unwanted dogs. And 9 out of 10 cats, the statistic is still there. You know?
If you phoned 5 shelters right now, they will all tell you they're full.
Yes. No, I know.
So that
there's
nowhere
for them to
this
go.
This is an epidemic.
It is an epidemic.
And it's worldwide.
And it still surprises me. I mean, I did meet a couple of people at Wodak proudly telling me, they just want to have a litter.
One litter.
And you go, but why? No, we want to let the kids
it's
see.
It's always about the kids.
You know?
Yeah.
It's always about the kids. Mm. Or, but my dog's beautiful. I want to breed it. And you kind of scratch your head and you go, where are they going to go? Where are these puppies going to go?
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully more and more people are educated. And I think a lot of people are starting to feel a little bit embarrassed now. I think it's getting to them to say, yeah, all right, I'm not going to. Let me go and sterilize.
Mm. And that is why all our dogs leave sterilized. We do not rehome without
sterilizing. Yeah, one unsterilized dog creates 64,000 offspring.
My goodness.
64,000?
In 5 years.
That's crazy.
It is
and
crazy.
And one unsterilized cat creates 500,000 offspring
good
in 7
heavens.
Years.
Mm.
So,
and there's just not enough homes.
No, there are not enough homes. No. But, you know, my biggest – I always see people say, oh, you know, I've already got 2 dogs. I just can't bring this 3rd dog in. And I shake my head and I think, but I've got 20. Mm. Hello? Mm.
Mm.
It's you know, you just make place for that, that extra animal.
You do see a lot of the people that really do care adopting and ending up with, as you say, 15, 20 dogs.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
20 dogs is not a big deal.
No. No, and at least they're getting the good care with people who love
we
them.
Laugh.
For
because
you, it's
laughs.
Not a big deal. I'm sitting with 2 only, so I need to
just
adopt a few more.
The neighbors, eh?
But that is a lot of energy around you and in your space and in your home, and it must take its toll to give all the animals attention and to feel like
you know,
like
Jonathan,
you're
that is a thing, but the dogs know their place in the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. You have a hierarchy amongst the dogs as well, and they know who your pack leader is.
Yeah, they are pack animals by nature.
Yes. Mm.
So they do work out exactly.
And all our dogs are old, 3-legged, blind, on wheels. So we don't take in the pampered pooches.
So how many do you personally have?
20.
You have 20?
We have 20
in
dogs.
In your house?
In our house.
Wow. And 150 in the shelter.
And 150 in the shelter.
How many sleep on your bed?
There's
7, I think.
But then they also get hot and they want to lie on the floor. So
yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There's nothing nicer than sleeping with the
absolutely.
Dog on the bed.
You know,
nothing
when we go nicer. On holiday, have you ever left your dogs and go on holiday? That first night is like
it's
a trauma.
Terrible. I try not to go on holiday because I won't leave my dogs. But it is.
Yeah,
I phone home
symptoms.
All the time. Yeah, you can't handle it. I think you sleep better. It's their breathing that is so soothing.
It's the cuddling.
The cuddling, the warmth. It's the most amazing thing.
Yes.
It really is. I used to share my bed with 6 Rottweilers. That was quite something. So these little guys that you've personally adopted. Did they come through the shelter that you just fell
you
in love with
them? You
know,
one was given to me as a present. And Eddie Bear, is now, I think he's 18.
18 years old.
18 years old. He's a Dachshund.
He's strong as a bull.
And he's the only dog that I've ever received as a gift. And I could not figure why somebody had gone out and bought a dog and given me a dog as a gift. It like baffled me.
Goodness, and he's still around.
He's my man.
And then the others, when they come in, do you just kind of form a bond and decide this is my personal dog now?
Sharing a form of bond with
all
every
of them,
dog.
Yeah.
Mm. I can walk.
It's very sad because you have to.
We rehomed 2 dogs
from the animals because I mean they all our friends. You know?
Yeah. Nicholas, animals. We dropped off 2 dogs at a new home yesterday, and as Nicholas got into the car, he said to me, "Oh, I was getting so attached."
Yeah.
So that's it. You have to draw the line as to where Fiona, our kennel manager, she is everything for us. Fiona Manuel from Woodrock Animals. We don't physically work at the shelter every day. We only do Saturdays and Sundays, but we do morning checks and night checks. And she physically takes in every dog and rehomes every dog, and every home check is done through her, you know, through myself,
yes.
Nicholas, or her.
And of course, Woodrock is a no-kill shelter. None of your dogs are euthanized. If they're not adopted, they live there with you.
Correct.
Mm. Pro-life.
Pro-life. Yeah.
Completely pro-life.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got plenty of keepers there, you know.
They're long-lifers. We call them long-lifers where we know that they're taking up a kennel, and we get criticized for it, that they're taking up an enclosure. Our enclosures, the dogs sleep on beds with heaters, with blankets, and some of them have aircon. Mm. So they are given a quality of life. They walk twice a day.
Music.
They get music.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
This thing about music, you ask about music, I promise you it's AC/DC because I would prefer the more softer music, but it's Nicholas's choice.
And the dogs enjoy it.
Well, I hope so.
They
I
love
don't
it. They love it, yeah.
Well, I'm sure it does provide some sort of stimulation.
Yes.
Or,
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it
and
relaxes them,
Johnny.
Sure.
ACDC
yeah.
relaxing.
For sure.
Probably
you're
got some head-banging dogs there.
Yeah.
And so tell me your adoption criteria. People come out, they come and have a look. What is the process?
The process is quite simple. We watch your body language with that dog. We have an area called Tickle and Touch. We like a telephonic interview first. And we actually get criticized for this as well. But that first telephonic is so vital, because the questions I ask, I remember. Then I send through an application, and if it doesn't coincide, and people forget what they say. And then when we insist they come and do a greet and meet at the shelter.
Yes.
And their body language is vital. And you know what? You can still make mistakes.
I'm sure.
Yes.
We do a home check as well.
Yeah. Then the home checks get done, and two were done yesterday for one little boy called Jason. And the one that we had thought was going to be like a really good home, Jenny sent us an email, and she says, wow, the lorry. She says, this was an awful home.
Oh, really?
Yes. And the other one was approved.
What are you looking for in the
home checks? First of all, I look at food bowls and food.
Yes.
And you look at the actual security for the animal. Mm-hmm. So those are all things visible. There was one home check I remember.
Swimming pool covered.
Swimming pools must be covered, which we've also been criticized for, but it's very important to us that a dog doesn't drown.
Do people rent or own property?
That we are flexible on.
We are flexible to an extent.
Very flexible, because money is not a criteria for love.
No, sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
But they must be able to pay veterinary bills.
Yes.
Yeah, it's also no good that they have a secure place now, but in three months' time, where's the dog going to be staying?
Exactly. Mm. And we have dogs coming back. We have a policy that if you move, relocate, get divorced, you know, the usual question, hi, listen, I've just got married and my husband's bringing in his bull terrier and my dog isn't going to be able to stay. Mm. So you do get, but we have a policy that you have to come back to us.
Yes.
That
yes.
dog will forever be a Woodrocker.
You guys have a lifelong commitment to that dog.
We
For
do.
Certain.
Yeah.
In fact, even if they're going to give it to their friend, we've got to vet the friend first.
Mm. Mm. Yes, absolutely. And your success rate? Do you find a lot of good homes?
Oh, yes.
I think we get in more than we rehome.
Really?
The rehoming rate is very low, very slow.
It's 20 to 1.
Yeah. And
so
also,
if there's 20 dogs that we get in, we can only find one home.
It's seasonal as well, and puppies take preference, and the purebreds take preference. And our dogs, 90% of them are the leftovers,
yes.
If you want to call them the leftovers, the precious babies.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you which dogs get preference. So, yeah, obviously puppies, purebred.
I listen to your key. So if you say, you know, we had a Labrador that died last month, and we're really partial to Labradors, and I have a Bull Terrier Cross Schnauzer, I'll say, you won't believe it. This dog is exactly like a Labrador. Outstanding. And in fact, I'm quite certain the mother was probably a Labrador, and I play on that.
Yes.
So, you know, you actually become a psychologist as well in this whole rehoming process.
And it's interesting. I wanted to find out, you say body language. What are you looking for? The interaction with the dog?
I've seen people stand aloof and not touch a dog and tell me they love dogs. I don't get it.
Mm. Yes, I've seen a lot of that. People who profess that they're these big dog lovers.
Yes.
But they won't even touch a dog because, oh, I'm allergic or, oh, I'm...
Yes.
But then that begs the question, why are they there to adopt a dog?
Security.
Security.
Oh, of course.
That's the reason. Look, there's lots of education involved as well, because lots of children also are afraid of dogs. You have to. So, tickle and touch is a very important aspect. They get to touch the dog and see the dog's not going to bite them and that type of thing.
Mm. And what about children? I had one of our canine's owners want to adopt a golden retriever 2 weeks ago, and she was turned down because she had a child under 5. Do you have that kind of, do you look out for that?
Do you know, we have dogs that are boisterous.
Mm.
So if the dog, a golden retriever, for example, we know our dog's personalities very, very well. Our dogs are all lead trained actually as well. We like to, excepting Stacey. Darling Stacey can't be lead trained. For some reason, she hasn't been lead trained. She's been with us since a puppy. But we do. If a dog is going to eat a child of 5's plate, who's going to get into trouble but the dog, not the child?
Yeah.
And a child that hasn't been subjected to an animal who is boisterous, that is going to knock them over, that is not a suitable rehoming.
Yes.
So then every rehoming has a different set of criteria.
Right.
You have to look at it in its merit.
Yes, individually.
Yeah, certain dogs are much stronger than other dogs.
Sure.
And
sure.
That can be a problem around children.
Yes.
But you cannot blacklist the dog.
The dog can be trained.
Right.
Properly trained.
And I mean, it's so important. I saw, again, going back to Wodak, is Animal Talk magazine had the stand where Paws for People were educating the children into how to communicate with what to do, what not to do. And it was so amazing hearing these children sing these little songs and being educated that don't climb on the dog's back, don't pull its ears and its tail. But it's the parents.
But the parent. I was about to say, where's the parent?
The parent needs to educate.
Do you know, we just recently did a massive puppy mill rehoming with one of the group's...
Schnauzer Friends.
Correct.
Right.
Most incredible woman, Deborah Blaine.
Oh, she is.
But a lot of the homes actually came, the dogs stayed over at the Woodrock shelter, and the owners would then come into Woodrock, and I personally would watch their interaction. And a lot of the new owners have phoned Deborah back and myself, and in fact Deborah has phoned me back as well, and said, how did you know that? You read your dog. Do you know that a dog doesn't learn from the human being? Actually, the dog learns from other dogs. So when you say to me, how do you take a dog into your pack of 20 simply because my dogs know there's space in the pack. So that new dog that's coming in, even a blind dog, will immediately read the situation. Hands are so important because dogs don't have hands to slap out. So a hand, you keep your hands away from a dog. That's the first thing you learn when you see a dog coming from a puppy mill who has never been touched in 9 years by a human hand.
But they also learn from each other.
Yes.
So once you put them into a situation where the dog now looks at the other dog and says, hang on, those dogs trust the human beings, you know. Can't be that bad. Let's go with it. And it's after 3 days, it's a changed animal.
So do you never have fights or anything like that in your pack?
Our pack, the pack at home?
Yes.
In our house?
In your house?
No.
Never?
Not at all. Jenny keeps them in line.
Yeah, that's my dog.
Jenny. Oh.
Jenny's my dog. She's a Dachshund Cross Staffy, and she's
a bit of a bully.
She is a bully.
And she keeps everyone else in line.
She's my baby.
You know, you sometimes think you hear these people that do have 20 dogs. There's never a fight. I know somebody who's got 20 rescued pit bulls.
Yes.
Not a problem at all. And you think, you know, a lot of people go, well, I can't get another dog because they'll fight or something like that. It seems like the more you
know,
you
Sharon,
have, the less they fight.
You say that. You know that I have a client who is the most, well, a supporter, Charlene Maltz. She is absolutely amazing. She's just lost two dogs, and she's got the surviving two. And I have advised her not to get a dog until December. Her pack that she had needs to settle.
Okay.
And I could push five dogs onto her tomorrow.
Sure.
But no, her pack needs to settle.
Okay, before you bring
in another. And she's already come to shelter, and she's already identified another dog, and I haven't pursued it because her pack needs to find their hierarchy because they've lost the other two, Cindy and Biscuit.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Mm.
But Jonica.
Oh, I was going to say they're going to readjust anyway when the new dogs do come in. Is that
yes,
not
but
so?
They've got to align themselves as their pack leaders. They weren't the pack leaders.
I get you.
Yes. You know, people generally are afraid if there's a little bit of a squabble. But it just takes one squabble to sort out the hierarchy. Mm. Look, if it's pit bulls fighting, it's a different story altogether, you know?
But I always say they're like children. You know, you're driving in your car and you're having your kids at the back having a massive fight. They're exactly like dogs.
Yes.
They'll sort themselves out. Keep quiet and watch. In a minute, they're not going to pull out each other's teeth. You know, they're not going to tear each other's ears.
Sure, sure.
So let the dogs find themselves.
So now, Estelle, with all of this that you guys are doing, how do you – I mean, the costs must be – I was looking at your flyer, and I looked at the costs per month to feed for veterinary bills. Is this all money that you get from wonderful people out there, donations?
No. Our food, and I have to give accolades to Pedigree, have sponsored us for an entire year.
Wow.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
That was the yellow brick wall that you saw we did on Mandela Day. They built a wall. And they've been involved with us with the Juno project. They have been sensational. And I have to actually, if I can do that clap on the music, boy, I'd do a huge clap for
there
Pedigree.
We go. Let's do this for Pedigree.
Oh, we can find it. Wow, you're springing this on me. It's coming.
That's amazing. Because we're going to be covering the Juno project in Canine Zone magazine. Amazing initiative.
And the water dog.
Yes. And it's so, it gladdens my heart to see, you know, a lot of my sponsors in the magazine.
Yes.
Are also, I mean, they give so much. I know that Supreme Pet.
They gave us 67 bags of dog food. So there's another clap for that.
Hills.
There, Supreme Hills. I have to clap. Right. I'll
Hills. Nestle also gave us.
Montego always help.
Vuma helps us.
Vuma's fantastic.
So, but 90% of the food goes out to.
To outreach programs. Okay.
So, yeah.
And veterinary bills, that must come to quite a bit.
Our veterinary bills are our biggest expense, and it is hard. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Nicholas and I work full time. So we had three children that were at private schools. All the money now goes to the dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we work for the dogs.
You work for the dogs.
Yeah, we do. And
there are lots of generous people out there as well.
For example, I had a
dog
with a broken back.
Culprits.
Yeah. you know, the corporates actually are more involved with human causes.
Yes, they are. I've seen that. I've tried to go to corporates, and they're totally involved with human causes.
Yes, human causes.
Sadly, except for FNB. I see FNB starting to actually do a lot now for animal rescue. They are. But at the end of the day, it amazes me how many of these shelters, I mean, we had Cheryl Gore and Malcolm Gore in 2 weeks ago, and from Pug Rescue.
Yes.
They were also saying how they sold their home, they bought this property, they work for the dogs. And that is fantastic. Mm. It really, really is.
Yeah.
So fundraising events, things like that?
We're not the greatest at fundraising.
Mm.
I always think to myself, oh, I'm going to go out and do a fundraiser, but I'm not going to be walking the dogs on that day. I'd rather be walking the dogs on that day.
Yeah.
The dogs are our life. I don't go past the shelter where I pop into every single 54 kennels.
Mm.
And the dogs are our world. They lighten up our lives.
Perhaps a way that people then, not to help you by giving you funds, but someone who can do fundraising for you, who has that talent would really help you guys out.
Jonathan, it's not so easy.
No, it's very difficult.
Not so easy to get that kind of person who's totally dedicated.
No.
In fact, for the Wodak show, I had to get a lady from Cape Town to come up and run the show for us.
To come and run the stand. Yeah. It's very difficult because people need to earn money to live.
Yeah.
I've been trying for 4 years to get someone to fundraise for my canines own fund, which is supposed to be there to pay vet bills. So hard to get somebody because they have to live. They have to pay their own bond.
And it's a very time-consuming thing build relationships with other companies and to build that trust for them to give you these donations and sponsor you.
Tell us, give us a day in the life of one of your shelter dogs.
Okay, let's use who? Juno. I can use anybody. I can use, the dogs that were sterilized this morning. Last weekend, we were terribly full. Not the Wodak weekend. How do you call it? The Wodak weekend?
The Wodak weekend.
Yeah, the Mandela Day. Yeah.
Now it's known as the Wodak weekend.
Nicholas gets a bit like shy. Like, I found another dog. And then I said, but what are we going to do? Anyway, it was a pair. And what did we call them, Nicholas? The babies? I think
Robbie and Rosie.
Yeah, Robbie and Rosie are your typical township dogs. He's got a broken leg which has been repaired, and Rosie dropped a litter of 7 puppies 2 days after she arrived.
Oh, my goodness.
So that is your typical day at Woodrock. Yes. Okay, it was the weekend. It was a Sunday night. Nicholas had gone into the informal settlement. Somebody needed him. He went to go and see to an animal. I think it was with Billary. And, he arrives back with two dogs. And so we thought, okay, we won't tell Fiona because now we've got no space at the bottom. We'll hide them up at the top in isolation because they've got to be checked medically.
Yes, yes.
And so that was last Sunday, the Sunday night before. And then on the Monday, Fiona wasn't there. On the Tuesday, Fiona arrived and she's Estelle. This dog is pregnant. Well, she was quite right.
Oh.
So that is the life, the day in the
yes.
life. So now we have 7 really, really beautiful
cute puppies.
Cute nothing puppies.
Oh.
But for us, they're special. And Robbie went to get sterilized at the vet this morning.
And sometimes they are the best. These little, they're just dogs or puppies. It's not
that is my, Sharon, you
they're
know.
They're so awesome.
We say that. Mm. But then we get people who are picky and choosy and they say, we're just not making that connection. And I think that the devil in Estelle comes out.
Yeah, sure, but I mean, because you also get purebred dogs in your shelter.
Certainly. We certainly do.
Yeah.
We've got
we've
got Bostons. We've got Spaniels.
You've got Bostons?
Yes.
Oh, my word. I must restrain myself right now.
There you go, Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie. We don't only rehome from the shelter. We also do satellite rehoming. So a person will phone me.
Which is the ideal situation, home to home.
So people will phone me and say, I've got a Dachshund that needs to be rehomed. And I'll say, I'm so sorry, but I just don't have space. And I can't get past Fiona.
Yes.
We just don't have space. So then I will then look at the list and I'll say, you might want to phone these people, but I suggest you do your homework properly.
Right.
I have never met these people. These are the lists and you do your homework properly. Now, looking at the pictures and the person that has actually phoned me for his Dachshund for this Friday,
yes.
Robbie Sutner, he will not just give his dog to anybody. I promise you he'll do his homework. And that is what we call a satellite rehoming.
Oh,
it does happen.
Well, we were quite excited. I've got a car full of prezzies for you. I've got it on the desk
here.
Popcorn, which is the most amazing product. It's popcorn for dogs. So, of course, it's great. it can't make your dog fat. You can give them as treats anytime you want to. My dogs adore it, the chicken and the beef flavor. And they actually kindly donated a lot of bags this weekend that we sold at Wodak with proceeds to Soweto Animal Rescue. And she's given me a huge bag of 30
Gee, that's wonderful.
Can take back to your own little babies.
Yes.
And then,
Thank you so much, Popcorn.
Yes.
Popcorn's amazing, and the dogs love it. So I'm sure your little ones are going to enjoy this. And then secondly, we've got a couple of your dogs in on our adorable adoptable pages in the August issue of Canine Zone, which is out on the 17th.
Thanks,
so we do find a lot of them get adopted. So I'm holding thumbs because they're so beautiful. They really are.
And we know their personalities, and we vet the homes to match the personalities.
Yes, so thank you very much. And now, how can people help you, Stel, before we end up here?
You know, there's the age-old question I get asked. It's one of the very first questions. How do we get involved, and how can we help? There's so many ways to get involved. And one of the ways to get involved is to actually take a dog under your wing, settle out once again, get to know the personality of the dog, and market that dog on every single media that you possibly can, and do your home check, and then come to Woodrock and let us do the final stage, because that is a huge help. Because people have time on their hands and they don't think of it. Also, social media is so enormous today. And if you've got time on your hands, you can sit and pump that dog all day.
Absolutely. Okay. No. Absolutely. What do they say? If you can't adopt, volunteer. No. Right. If you can't volunteer, donate. If you can't donate, educate.
Absolutely.
So, and then if people want to donate, they can do that. Obviously, you'd welcome any donations.
It's on our Facebook page, all the banking details are there. Of course, that is always first prize because at the moment our vet bill is like out of control. But our vets are very kind to us.
And Stella, your Facebook page is under?
Woodrock Animal Rescue.
Woodrock Animal Rescue.
Yes.
So please go and have a look there. Have you got a website as well?
We do have a website, www.woodrockanimalrescue.org.za.
Fantastic. So people can get all the banking details. Do you take volunteers?
Yes, we do. Do you welcome volunteers?
We do welcome volunteers. We make them work.
Good.
Okay, so it's not a matter of coming to walk the dogs or bath the dogs.
Yes.
But I must also add is that obviously the Woodrock are a shelter where there are older dogs and long lifers. But at the present moment, and this is like a huge advert, I feel like I shouldn't even be mentioning it.
Go for it.
We have 40 puppies.
Wow.
On rescue, and that is very, very unusual for Woodrock at the moment.
Yeah, but you see, you do not need to buy a puppy from a pet store.
Absolutely.
This is what I try and get across every single week. Please don't support puppies in pet stores because they come from puppy mills. Rather go to Woodrock and get a wonderful little puppy.
And we never close.
Neutered.
We are never closed. Exactly. We don't say you know, even after 6 o'clock, if you can't get there, that would just phone us and we'll be waiting for you to adopt.
No, absolutely.
We never, ever close.
And these are little guys.
Adopt, don't shop.
Absolutely. These are little guys that desperately need homes.
And then on the last final note is that Woodrock are the shelter that hold their hand out to the next shelter. So we will never, we've never had an argument with the shelter.
That's
We don't get into any nonsense. We never respond if there is something ugly. And we always, if we've got too much dog food or we've got too many inoculations or we've been given a consignment of band we will hand it over to another shelter.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Stella, thank you so much. Nicholas, bless you for
you
all
guys
you do.
Amazing stuff.
Do amazing thank stuff. You. Thank you for taking
I think every
part.
Shelter thank does, and I have to say hands up to every single one of them. Yes, we won, but we're all band together.
No, we salute all of them.
Yes.
They do amazing jobs. Thank you so much for coming in today again.
Thank you, Sharon, for inviting us.
We'll be back. We're going to take a short break. Jono, hey?
Yes, right back with Vilmarie Janser van Rensburg.
Great stuff.
CliffCentral.com.
What an amazing interview that was. It always just makes, I don't know, I just feel so much for these people. That
I'm
going to
steal your phrase, Sharon. They're animal angels.
Animal angels of note. And now we've got another animal angel in the studio.
Yes, we are so excited for this one.
We've got Vilmarie Janser van Rensburg. Now, Vilmarie, you do a lot of stuff. You're a speed queen, but you're also involved
SA
in
speed
cat
queen?
Rescue. What is speed queen?
Speed Queen was given – thanks for having me, by the way.
No, thank you for coming.
It's a pleasure, and I've seen and heard of the things that you guys do, so I'm really – thanks for the opportunity. Speed Queen is a name that was given to me about 20 years ago for racing motorbikes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So I was the first lady to race against the guys and the only one when I started for about 8 years. And obviously beating them just got the name. Suddenly someone just said, okay, maybe this is Speed Queen. So I've kept it.
Okay, well, that's very brave
I'm sure
of
the
you.
Guys weren't happy. Hey?
No.
You know what? It was fun to have a girl in there, you know, parading in leathers. I think the guys all liked it.
Oh, they would love that.
Yes, but then I started getting competitive, and then I started winning. You know, then you see who's your friends and who's not.
Yes, yes.
But 20 years later, I've done everything you can think of in motorsport. I've tried it. And I have an academy now that is also called Speed Queen Racing Academy, and that's 11 years.
Fantastic. So, wow. And lately, you've got your own radio show.
Yes, you know, it's wonderful.
Right here on Cliff Central, Auto Central.
Correct.
Yeah, they're one of the newest shows here. And yeah.
I think we're on our 8th show today.
It's fantastic.
Yes,
well
it's,
done.
It's exciting. I'm still finding my feet, though, but loving it.
That's great.
But what amazes me is that I didn't actually know this about you, is how passionate you are about animals.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, besides cars. How did that come about?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a different, whole different ball game. Hey, I've always loved animals, but I have a real special love for cats. There's just something, I think maybe a little bit, because in some way I feel they're very similar to me. Where, you know, a cat is independent, you know, they kind of, they do come, they love you, they really love you, they've got so much personality, but they are not so dependent on you that the moment you walk in, you know, they all over you. I love dogs, but cats just do it for me. They come to you when they want something, or if, whether it's just love or whatever. So I relate to
How
cats.
How many do you have?
I've got two.
Okay.
I would have had, if I had a plot, I would
have. A lot more. It's amazing how you get dog people, cat people, and some just connect with both animals.
Yeah.
So, but now on the other hand, other than having your own two, you do a lot of rescuing, spaying and neutering. Tell us about that.
Well, this came about, you know, firstly, I don't like watching the news. And I know some people are going to say that's just silly. I don't, because I get so upset with pictures or news or anything remotely.
Yeah, you really absorb that stuff.
I really do. And I wish I didn't, but it's kind of, it's just me. And I've thought about this. I've cried about this. I've done everything I can tell you. And I thought, you know what? I need to do what I can do as best as what I can. And this came about driving out on my way to gym. And this tiny little black kitty ran across the road, and I thought, no, she's too small. She actually won't make it. She was that tiny. So I got out, parked in the middle of the road, and someone actually stopped to help me catch this little cat. But she was wild, but young. But I mean, I'm not even, I don't want to say even 6-7 weeks. Bit me a little bit, you know, but which is normal.
Sure.
You know, she's scared. And so this was a feral cat. And I thought, okay, what do I do with a little feral cat? Phoned all the vets. None of the vets wanted to take her because she's now feral. And then, you know, so you got to socialize them somehow. When they're small, you can still hopefully socialize them and find a home. So I phoned around and got hold of this amazing woman, Mishka, who also, she's got a plot and there's so many cats. So I went, I was in tears. I said, please help me. I can't, you know, this cat can't go to the vet. I can't keep her. My place doesn't allow for that anymore. And I went to her and she said, no, she's small enough. Let's, you know, let's do what we need to do. So I donated some money to them because now they'd have to feed her, fix her, you know, do all the right things. And then before I knew it, I had another one that I caught.
Oh.
So, and then there's, I found this woman who actually made cages for, you know, to catch the cats.
Yes.
So I said to her, look, please show me how to do this. And she actually said, let me come with you. And she went with me to the center, the checkers behind where I live. Tiny little gray cat going in and out of the generator box and eating out of the dustbin.
Oh,
so I thought, no, this is wrong. Yeah. You know, so I started feeding this cat certain times of the day to make sure that, you know, she knew where there was food and when. Because this is what the lady said to me. Feed a certain time and then that's the time we're going to try and catch her. So she came with me, brought the cage, and, you know, we stuck it out there. And you got two ways, you know. You get the automatic cage. I don't know if you've seen it. The one who
you don't have to be around. So, yes, correct.
So if they walk in, it kind of steps the door down.
Right.
But that's very traumatic for them if you're not there. And then there's another one that you can do manually where you put the little stick, hide around the corner. If they're in there, you close
it quickly.
That's
so old school.
Yes. And then you throw the blanket over because instantly they go into a they're just traumatized, but they hurt themselves in the cage.
And it's fear.
Yes, to try and get out. So you've got to try to cover them quickly with a blanket. So this is the stuff that she showed me now and taught me. So I said, okay, I need my own cage. Then I just went for a holiday in Mahalis Park, and I was devastated when I found these three little kittens that was now at my door. I'm trying to relax, and here's these little kittens. So before I knew it, I just started catching and rescuing. But the little ones I caught close to home, I could find homes for.
Okay.
Because we could socialize them. The problem was with the Mahalis Park, which is now really, they have stray cats. Which they don't feed, unfortunately. I find that so sad. You know, they don't put the food out or whatever. But in this case, you can't. Now, this is what the lady Liz has taught me, who, you know, catches ferals, fix them and feed them. So you mustn't take them out of the environment where they're at, because they kind of form a colony. And if you take away, just new cats are going to come in.
Yes.
If you just fix the ones that are there, they kind of keep the things going.
They keep it going.
Yeah, so you're minimizing the risk when you fix them for new ones, for kittens.
For new ones.
And you feed them, so, you know, they keep it clean with the rats and those kind of things. And
Yes.
They do serve a big purpose.
Yeah.
Especially in certain areas like townships where we've had problems with rats. And when it starts affecting humans, that's when people take it seriously.
Yes, but did you know that cats don't actually catch them, it seems, when they're hungry? And this is a very odd principle, but this is now a lot of research that was done by the vets and also the people I'm now working with. They say the cats must have food to catch them.
To give them the energy.
Exactly.
Right.
It takes so much energy.
So they
energy.
Would catch them almost as a sport.
As just their instinct. Yes. Yeah, and not as a place for food.
But if they're starving, they don't. It's too much energy.
Yes.
So interesting. So
that's why you've got to keep feeding them. You just fix them and feed them.
Spay, neuter, release. Yes. And feed them to keep them there. They really do play a huge role.
They do.
And I wish more companies would actually take care of them.
Yeah. Mm. Especially if they're on your terrain, you know, like this park that we went to. This was a very traumatizing experience for me, because I had to release them again, and that's the bit that I struggled with.
Yeah,
you know, I wanted to take them home.
Yes.
And I couldn't. But I realized that they did know the environment, and although they were small and they were surviving in amongst the monkeys, but the one had a little bite mark, and that was very bad for me. So I went to the vet and found that purple spray antibiotic stuff. And I was getting them to literally start taking food out of my hand. So I spent an extra week there at the resort just to try and feed them, to get them to trust me. Mm-hmm. That was the bad part for me, because now they trust me, next minute I catch them and they're devastated.
Right.
But then we got the vet to come to the resort, and then she fixed them there the same night still that we caught them. And then we waited for them to recover, and then I went and released them the next morning. So we caught five cats like that. And it's great. And then all of them released in the same place where we now feed them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're now in their environment and they know there's food there for them.
Yes, yes. And fortunately, when we caught the one that had an injury, you know, the vet managed to fix up what needed to be fixed. And so at least from that side, the little one will be okay as well. But that was really rough for me, because I couldn't find a home for them. I couldn't socialize them, and I couldn't take them to a vet. I had to release them into the wild.
I think you have to see what option is best for the cats 100%. And go with that option.
100%.
And it's very hard when they're feral cats to get them tame enough to rehome.
Yes.
Most cases can't be done.
Especially when they're big.
Yes.
And I had a situation like that now on Thursday. Last Thursday, I caught a very big gray one at the One Checkers. And he was just too big to try and socialize. Mm. We can't.
The kittens you can probably still.
But those ones, you got to fix them, love them as best you can, you know, while they're with the vet. And then just make sure they know where there's food, where you release them again, and hope for the best.
Yeah, well, I think also it provides a challenge when there is an area that has a lot of stray or feral cats, and then to try and show people that, no, this is actually a pet that lives inside your house, when all around them they see stray cats. Yes. It must be harder to get them to adopt.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, you know what makes me angry is people are negligent, people that adopt. They play a big part of the problem we're sitting with the ferals, because they get them for the kids, they don't fix them, or the kids want them initially, and then they realize, oh no, it's too much trouble, and then they don't want them anymore.
Absolutely.
And 100%, and that's the part that causes, now you have a stray cat like the one I caught, a male, so goes and visits this female, she's not fixed, chaos. Mm. What happens to the little ones? So you know what, there's one thing I want to ask every single one who's got a cat, just fix him or her, because
yeah.
I cannot tell you the snowball effect, the trauma and the drama.
Absolutely.
If you don't
Nicholas,
do that.
Nicholas, what did he say earlier? A cat? Is it 60,000?
Something
now.
In the order of 55,000 to 65,000 in the span of 5 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it seems to me, Sharon, that everyone who comes in here talking about how they are rescuing animals, the point they try to get across is sterilization.
Absolutely.
No one can seem to stress that point enough.
Yes. Mm. And you know what? If you do, what I'm trying to do now, because I'm finding the hands-on thing so upsetting, it takes me a day or two to recover, I'm trying to rather get younger people in maybe who kind of emotionally switch off a little bit more than what I do, train them how to catch and what to do, and set up a structure rather that they can work with.
Yes.
Like now with the checkers where I've caught the three cats now, I've asked them to also want to help donate pellets, for example. Mm, so every month just give 2-3 bags, you know, so
nothing.
It helps. It's, yes, no. And they've been great. So we've put up a feeding post there permanently. Security helps to check, is the pulse, you know, is it filled up?
Which checkers is this?
In Samrand, on Samrand Avenue.
Whoa. Big shout out to them.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But Vilmarie, I like what you said about getting younger people involved.
Yes.
Because I go to shelters and I speak to these people, and you normally find they're kind of middle-aged people. To older people.
Yeah.
And we really need to get the youth more involved.
Yes.
And to understand that there's help needed.
But you know, a lot of them have projects in school.
Yes.
Where they are supposed to be doing, let's say, good work.
Mm.
And look, you got to have a certain personality to manage this. So I think it's important to work with the youth. But the lady that showed me how to catch the cats, she cannot cope with all the feeding and all the catching anymore. And she's not young, so she's taking strain.
Yes.
And that's when I realized,
they
you know
need
what?
Help. Yes.
We need to get people
we
in
really
to help.
We really need to get the 20s and the 30s out there and say, we'll help. Go once a day and put out food.
Yeah. Once a
cats.
Month. Come
once
with us
month.
On this weekend and we're going to catch again, you know? It makes a world of difference.
Vilmarie, what you do is fantastic. Something I know that is also very close to your heart is this situation at Jagamaro.
Yes.
Now, we were supposed to have Justin on our show 2 weeks ago. Then all the drama went down where people came to take his cat.
Mm.
Last week we had Ainsley, hey Sharon, from the NSPCA, talking about the whole situation. But Vilmarie, I know you were there this weekend.
Yes. Justin, just to tell you quickly history, we used to race together. So a year ago, I also went to visit him at his park. It was the most incredible experience I've ever had. And when I heard this on the news, what happened now, what is it, 2 weeks ago already, I was traumatized. I tell you, I cried, couldn't stop crying for like a day. And that's when I tried to get hold of you to tell you, you know, I managed to speak to Justin and his mom, and this is what I think is going on. But I wanted to go there myself on Saturday to just see, because I want to help them raise funds, because the biggest challenge for them now seems to be the legal fees.
Right.
They are not in the wrong. Mm. You know, they have all the right paperwork. There's a lot more involved than what people realize. You know, in my personal experience in life is people with money are bullies, and they're wrong, and they use their money and time and the legal system to get what they want, and it's not okay. And in this case, it is very much that is what it is. So if anything, I want to help them to raise funds for legal fees, because it's already ridiculous what they have to pay. But
I wish a lawyer would volunteer their services.
Yes.
That would be great.
Well,
you see, if there's any lawyers listening, please.
Yes.
We'd love to speak to you.
This is a big topic. Mm. I mean, it was also just with the lions, the tigers, I mean, that they are now breeding, was on carte blanche as well, as you know. It's a big topic for our country, you know, and these people are doing great work.
Well, we actually have Justin Fernandez on the line. Justin, are you there?
Hi, how's it, Jonathan?
Welcome
how's
to the show, Justin.
Hi, Justin.
Hello.
Okay, Justin, you know, now the last time we spoke to you was obviously a terrible day for you. You were very distraught. Now that it's 2 weeks later, things have sort of settled. I know all the cats are still at your park. How are things going?
Well, the cats were actually taking it a lot better than what I thought. There's one or two cats that took it really hard, where I'm sitting here with a jaguar that refuses me to go inside the enclosure just to even clean up. But most of the cats are taking it pretty well. We had our first group of clients that came through on Saturday to come out again and feed the animals, get up close and personal with them, and the cats actually took it pretty well. I don't think that they're big fans of people dressed now in camo clothing coming up to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Kai also. Hey, Justin. I mean, Kai is already doesn't like men.
And Kai took a really bad turn with that. For about 3 or 4 days, he didn't want to sit still. We had to follow him around the enclosure, have 2 or 3 bites of meat out of your hand, and just run off again, run after him again, just try and get just so he can get a bit of meat in his stomach. And
what is Kai, Justin?
Okay, Kai is a very, very rare tiger. If you guys go Google him, there's only 50 of these cats left in the world.
Goodness.
It's a crossbreed between a white tiger and an orange tiger, where both colors came out in the cat. So if you guys go Google golden tabby tiger, you'll see how special this cat really is.
I think I may have seen him on your Facebook page, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he's like a very strawberry,
beautiful,
blonde, white, beautiful looking cat.
Shame. So he took a lot of strain from this.
Yeah, he took already a lot of strain from this, where we had to follow him around and eat something and not lose so much weight and all of that. But the cat has started to settle down now and everything, so happy for that.
Justin, what is the current status? And I think you got a lot of public support. So what's happening right now?
Well, we've got a lot of public support. We've got a lot of donations coming in. It's like Valmery says, the cats are still one of our main top priorities, to look after them, the well-being of the cats. The cats still get fed every day. It's not that because we went under liquidation that the cats started getting a bad life by not getting fed properly and medical side and vet bills and all of that. That's all being paid up. The only thing that's getting out of hand, because we have to keep on constantly running up and down to high court, paying the lawyers. We paid almost over 400,000 rand in lawyers just to try and sort all this out. And I can see it's going to carry on for quite a while, because everybody's got an opinion and everybody's got their paperwork. And this is like just the biggest mess I've seen in any courtside issue that I've seen in a long time.
And do you have time now, Justin, or is there a deadline before you have to look at moving them?
Well, we're busy waiting now for ABSA to come to a table and say that they're out of the equation, because the only liquidators that we owed money to, creditors that we owed money to, was ABSA Bank. Now, all of a sudden, they say they started attaching our animals and everything. But on the contract, it stated, first the money had to come in, where we sold off portions of the property to a profit. Then second on the list was movable assets like cars, vehicles, motorbikes, trailers, to try and get that money back. And then the cats were third on the list, and they didn't take any, they didn't take cars, they didn't take furniture, they didn't take anything. They took, they
the
went
animals
straight for
first.
The cats, because they knew
that is
how
so sad,
cats
so
were.
Sad that
and
the
they
animals
took it out of under our nose. Apparently, all of the big cats, 21 of the big cats got sold for 220,000 rand.
Justin, how can people help before we wrap up? Is there any, your Facebook page, I know it's under Juggamoro Predator Park.
Yes. Either up on my fan page as well, it's under Justin Tiger Boy Fernandez.
Okay.
There's banking details. So if people do want to help donate towards the lawyers' fees.
And if there's any lawyers out there, please, come and help with some pro bono work there.
All right.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
All right, Justin, we've got literally a few seconds left of the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Justin.
We are going to follow up with you again, I'm sure.
No problem. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Only a pleasure. And with that, we at the end of the show already.
Yes,
quick.
Valmery, thank you so much. I wish we had more time with you.
No problem. Yes. Thanks for having me.
No, and thank you for all the good work you do.
It's only a pleasure.
And Sharon?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, this week, the weekend's nearly there, and we'll be back again next week with some interesting guests. We're going to talk about chicken rescue. That should be very, very interesting. So we'll be back next Wednesday. Until then, please give all your pets a big hug from us. Bye.
CliffCentral.com